Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered out here this morning. Bring you greetings from the Calvary congregation. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago that I was here and preached for you, but I guess however they make out the rotating schedule, this is how it works out. I've been challenged and inspired at the theme of the service thus far this morning. And I appreciated the devotions and even the Sunday school lesson. Even though we looked in the Old Testament, we can still glean truths from that. And the songs that we sang after Sunday school and just the whole flow of the service, even though the message I have this morning is going to continue that flow, I didn't even look at the Sunday school lesson before I was studying. I didn't realize that it tied in, but even though it's different scriptures. You can turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to be taking my message from this chapter. The inspiration and the burden for this message came from your last night of revival meetings when Brother Henry spoke on endurance. The title of the message this morning is Marks of a Good Soldier. At first, I was going to focus on the hardness of a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and then I looked back at the notes from the revival message and realized that's pretty much what Henry had spoke about. So I changed it a little bit. But do we know what it means to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Is it something that we have to purposely inflict on ourselves in order to endure and to experience hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ? I'd like to read this chapter at this time. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at warth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there is not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance at the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will." In this land of America, we don't understand, I believe, what hardness of the gospel that Paul was writing about here. As he was writing, if you would go back in, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, he talked about all that he suffered for the gospel's sake. And I don't know if there's any one of those things that we have suffered like Paul has. But does that mean that we cannot be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? I don't believe it does. We all have comforts here, and we can pretty much have whatever we want. And at times, even if we don't have the money to afford what we want, we borrow it so we can be comfortable in this world. I had to wonder how we can reconcile that thought with the, I don't know how many of you get Cam's newsletters, with the amount of struggles in other countries of Christians that are trying to serve the Lord. And how does that affect us? I received a book at Christmas time, and starts out about a young boy that had just come over to America. The setting was back in the early, mid 1700s, 1750s and on, I think, is somewhere in there. And this young boy understood something about the hardness of being a soldier of Jesus Christ. There was a lot of different religions, and the whole theme of the early settlement was freedom of religion. And because of that, there was a lot of different religions that got in conflicts over that time. This young boy, I'm not exactly sure how old he was, somewhere around 14 or 15, desired a book. They called it the Martyr's Book. I think it would have been similar to what we know as the Martyr's Mirror today. And he saved money for a number of years so that he could go and buy his own book. And then he spent a day traveling to get it and going back home. And it was all by foot. It was no vehicle like we would have today. And I asked the question, how much are we willing to give up for, how much hardness are we willing to endure for the sake of the gospel? We have a lot of freedoms here in America, but what would happen if we lost them? I'd like to look at some of the verses in this chapter and pull different thoughts from them. The verses 1 and 2, we see here that we have a spiritual relationship that we can enjoy, but it's only by the grace of God. And it's the enabling grace that He gives us each day that we can live lives victoriously. And God doesn't give us grace for something that we don't want to overcome. Now, there's a message that's being preached in our winter Bible schools on frustrating the grace of God, and that basically has the idea, the word frustrating there is rejecting the grace of God, and we reject that, and we can reject that in many different ways. And one of those ways is continually going back into sin because we did not want to rid the evil, the root out of our life. We have the grace that God gives us when we desire to be free from sin, and He will give us that enabling grace to live above sin. And going to verse 4, first part of verse 4, it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." We all entered a warfare when we accepted Jesus as Savior of our life. And it's a spiritual warfare that we don't fight with physical weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 6, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. Another verse in Ephesians 6, it's a verse in what we know as the armor of God. Could read verses 11 through 17, but I won't. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." God has provided a way for us that we do not have to become entangled in the affairs of this life. We need to put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it, for whatever situation we decide we need part of it. But God wants us to use the whole armor if we desire to be victorious, that is what we will do. It also calls for a separation. If we're not going to be entangled with the affairs of this life, we're going to have to separate ourselves from this life, from the affairs of this life. John 15, there's two verses there I want to read. Verses 18 and 19, it says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you." See here that no matter where we are in the world, if we are separated unto God, the world is going to hate us. That's how we treated Jesus when he was here on this earth, and that's how we can expect to be treated. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, this was when Paul was talking about not being unequally yoked with unbelievers. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God desired that we would be separated from the world in all areas of life, and that when we are separated from the world and turn to him, he will be a guide and a father to us. First John 3:13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." Something that we should expect, and at times if the world doesn't hate us, maybe we need to examine our lives, as we talked about in the Sunday school lesson, to check our lives and see what areas we may need to change. Second thing with coming out, or not entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life, is found in verse 22 of 2 Timothy 2. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We need to flee the lusts of the flesh, whatever that may be. We often think of lust as immoral involvements, and it is, but it's also anything that can draw us away from God. It says there in verse 22, if we are going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, then we are not going to be able to live a life for God. It says, "But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." The two don't mix. Could also go to Titus chapter 2 and read a number of verses there that have the same idea. I'll just do that. Titus chapter 2. Verses 11-14. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." That is God's desire for us, and we need to be free from the things of this world in order to experience that. Second part of verse 4 says that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I haven't studied a lot into wars other than what we would have studied in school, but an American soldier, if he is going to be enlisted in the army, is going to be dedicated to his country, and he's going to do all he can to please his leader. It's going to be his main goal and focus as he goes through battles. And he's not going to spend time looking around him trying to figure out what the other soldiers are doing. And that's how it is in the Christian life. We need to focus on our captain, on our leader, and allow him to have full control over life and be separated in all areas of life and live each day in service to him. First Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Along with this thought of pleasing our captain, it takes work on our part. It takes striving on our part, and it calls for temperance in living in doing so. And that brings us to verse 5. It says, "And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." What does it mean to strive lawfully? Spiritual life is a journey, and it takes effort on our part, but we also need to have the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be victorious. And I'd like to look at two areas I believe that we need to be careful in our own lives. And first one is in honesty. Romans 12 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." And also we know the verse in Philippians 4:8 that we're supposed to think on things that are honest and pure and holy. And it gives us the whole list there. And are we open and honest in all of our business dealings? And are we willing to take a loss in order to leave a good example and a good testimony? People want us to give them of our services, and then they're glad to see us go when the project is done because of how we have treated them. And are we honest in how we file our taxes? We can cheat a person here on this life, but on this earth, but God still knows our hearts, and we ought to answer to him for our lives. The next one is honor those in authority. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God." Verse 2 says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Sometimes it's easy to feel that the laws of the land are not relevant to our day-to-day. And I guess some of the ones that probably I struggle with the most are the ones that I want to talk about. That's obeying speed limits and driving laws such as no texting while driving. And it's easy, and as I was studying, I felt challenged and maybe even partly condemned because it's something I struggle with at times. I thought back to about 16 or 17 years ago, I'm not exactly sure how long ago it was, when I got my first speeding ticket. I was on my way home from a church service, and I was totally at fault. I know that. I can't blame on anyone else, but it's easy to give in to the peer pressure of a youth group or whatever it may be. And back then, that was sort of a thing that you did. You just drove as fast as you could and tried not to get caught. But I don't remember the exact words, but when the officer came up and asked me if I knew why he stopped me, I think I told him that I knew I was speeding. And he asked me what the speed limit was, and I told him it was 65. And his words were something like this. He says, does that mean that you can drive however fast you want? And at the time, I probably didn't take the challenge to heart like I should have. And I was intrigued also this summer when we went out to Missouri. We hit the Missouri line on Interstate 70, and the speed limit is 70. And one of the first speed limit signs right after that was one of these big electronic billboards. And it says, this is the speed limit, not suggested speed. And even the laws of the land understand the mentality of people is to view it as a suggestion and not a limit. And a little later on, I don't know, it was 20 miles later, they had another one, and it said something about that's the temperature, not the speed limit. And it was running 85, 90 degrees at that point. And they were trying to get people to understand that there are limits in life that we have to live under. And as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, that we're going to have to understand that those limits are for our good. If we are going to be striving lawfully in our Christian life, we're going to have to follow the guidelines that God has given us, even if it's through worldly leaders. I'd like to jump down to verses 11 to 13. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Are we identifying with Christ or are we denying him? There's no middle road. If we identify with Christ, we need to be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And in our day-to-day and in nominal Christianity, there are a lot of people that are trying to make a middle road. And some of those things become evident in their lack of commitment to the body, to a body of Christ. Their philosophy is that it's me and God, and that's all that matters. The other thing that it comes out in is that life is a party. We need to live it up. And why is it easier to get people together for a social activity than for a church service? And I think we talked some about how that we as fathers need to take our place. And I believe that's where some of this comes in. And I'd like to talk to the fathers here a little bit. And I want you to know that I'm talking to myself. Just a few challenges to us as fathers. If we don't, as fathers, draw boundaries for our children, who will? Somewhere along the line, if our children don't have boundaries, they will not understand the need to respect authority over them. Is it possible to have different boundaries in our home than another brother has and be okay to be different? I know it can cause struggles amongst us as fathers, and it also can cause struggles in our children, and I understand that, but I believe we need to know what we will allow and what we won't for the sake of our own convictions. Another thought is, if we don't establish boundaries in our homes for our children, it's going to be difficult for our children to build their own convictions. And children and youth need boundaries to help them establish convictions in their life. A child that grows up without boundaries would not be ready to face life on his own. Sometimes I believe it's a reaction to how we've been brought up. To go to the opposite side of the road, so to speak, in how we raise our children. But I believe we need to find the middle road. And balance it with the Word of God as we teach and train our children. Verse 15 is a favorite verse of a lot of people. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I remember in school there was a another student that had that verse on their notebook. And we can apply that to a lot of areas of life. This chapter was a bishop, Paul was writing to a bishop. But I believe it can be applied to every area of life and every person that has decided to follow Jesus. And what is the most important desire in our life? Is it to study the Word of God and to know what God says so that we can be an approved workman for Him and that we can understand and rightly divide the Word of truth? Is the Bible one of the most important books that we have? My wife got a message from a friend the other day, and I'm not a big fan of finding your inspiration on these online sites and then posting them or on your chats or on statuses or whatever. But this one did challenge me because it's something that I think we all face. It says, what if we treated our Bible like our cell phone? And this isn't even everything that was on the message, but I just picked out some of the challenges that I face. It says, what if we carried our Bible in our pocket and paged through it several times a day? What if we turned back to get it because we had forgotten it? What if we used it to receive messages from God and treat it like we can't live without it? Do we know the Bible well enough to know where to turn to for encouragement when we are discouraged or when we are struggling with certain struggles or when we are afraid? Do we find the Bible inspiring and the truths of God's Word precious in our life? As I was thinking about that, I had to think back, I'm not sure how many years ago, of how it used to be after church service compared to how it is now. And I'm not sure what caused the change. But I remember as a young man, after church, there would be groups of men standing around with their Bibles open, comparing scriptures and talking about the Bible. And now we see them standing around discussing things on their smartphones. What happened? What changed? Can we be like the Bereans in Acts 17, that they, after they heard the word, they searched the scriptures to make sure what they had heard was right? Is it possible that our phones have become idols, even though we don't want to call them that? Is it possible to leave them in our vehicles for 2 hours so that we are not distracted by them, so that we can learn what God has for us? It's a challenge in my own life because it's easy to feel that we need to stay connected, and I haven't always lived up to that challenge. But we need to allow God to have full control of our life and to have our full attention when we are in His house to worship Him. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 to 17, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible is where we're going to get all the answers and all the instruction that we need to be fitted for the work God has for us. And may we treasure it accordingly. Verse 16 to 19, we see the need to know what our foundation is so that we can understand and know the truth and be able to detect false doctrine when it is presented. I don't really have a lot more to say there, but that's what we need to understand the truth and know the truth. And that comes by studying the Word of God. Verses 20 and 21 talks about the different vessels that are in a house. Vessels of gold and vessels of silver, but also vessels of wood and of earth. We all are a vessel. And somewhere around the age of accountability, I believe we become a vessel of dishonor until we repent and accept the provisions of salvation. I don't know a lot about the purifying process of gold and silver, but I do know that they use fire to purify gold and silver, and it has to do with the heat and the amount of time that it's on the heat. But it doesn't take very long at all until wood and earth are destroyed by fire. So I believe we can see the difference in the vessels that God, or that Paul was using here to demonstrate the difference of a person following God and a person that is not following God. I had to think of the account that Marlon talked about the wise man and the foolish man. They both built a house, and I'm not sure if they looked the same on the outside or not. I tend to think they maybe did. And everything looked good until the storms of life, the trials of life came. And then the true structure, the lack of foundation on the one, was brought to light. And that's how it is in our own lives as well. We need to allow God to sanctify us. Like it talks about in verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. We need to allow God to do the sanctifying work in our lives and to cleanse us so that we can be ready for his use. I'd like to look at a couple verses in James in closing. James 4, verses 7 to 10, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. See through these verses that we need to allow God to cleanse us and purify us. And by doing that, we're going to have a desire to draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. And by doing that, the marks of a good soldier will be evident to those around us, and they will know who we are fighting for and what our goal is in life. Church, we can take the challenges this morning and apply them to our hearts and lives. Let's kneel for prayer.